I need to come back here, huh?
All right. So we're beginning tonight. We finished last week at long last. Tekaba Shofar, beginning tonight. The 11th bracha, Shiva Shofkenu. So the first thing we want to do, as we usually do, is to address some general ideas of the structure and the location of this bracha in Shmona Esrei, why it's where it is in the order of the brachos, and maybe the number of the bracha, and different things like that, and then maybe some more general structural points about the bracha. But to start with just the general point of Hashiva Shoftinu coming after Kibbutz Galyus. So we had the last bracha, the 10th bracha, was the bracha of Tekaba Shofar, the bracha of Kibbutz Galyus, the bracha of ingathering the exiles. And then we have the bracha of Hashiva Shofatinu. So before we get into any more elaborate points, so just wanted to make the point, the most basic point, that the tachlis, the purpose of Kibbutz Galyus is not nationalistic autonomy. It is not the purpose that we become an independent political entity with our own self-jurisdiction and self-determination. That's a nice thing also, but that is certainly not the purpose. That is not the goal. That is not the real primary accomplishment, the primary desire of Kibbutz Galyus is not for that. The purpose is not geopolitical power, or even the security of being a sovereign nation, or having a sovereign nation that protects us. But it's the real tachlis, the real purpose, and the real goal of Kibbutz Galyus is the reinstitution of a society run according to the laws of the Torah and the guidance of Torah sages, of the Talmidei Chachamim, of the of Das Torah. In Kibbutz Galyus, in the ingathering of the exiles, is followed by Hashiva Shoftenu, and then the next bracha, the 12th bracha, is the Din Bereshayim, the bracha of Olam Al Shinim, because that is the true goal of Kibbutz Galyus, is the accomplishment of the reinstitution of a Torah theocracy, of a nation run al pi dinei haTorah, and the hashkafah of the Torah, and run according to the guidance of Talmidei Chachamim. So immediately after Tekaba Shofar and Kibbutz Galyus and everyone coming back together, is then Hashiva Shoftenu, the very next step. The automatic next step is Hashiva Shoftenu, because that is the purpose of Kibbutz Galyus, is in order to lead to Hashiva Shoftenu, in order to lead to the state where we can institute or reactivate the shoftim of the Talmidei Chachamim and the leaders of the Jewish people running Chal Yisrael through the guidance of the Torah. That's the first point. I think the most basic point of the structure of the bracha is that that Kibbutz Galyus leads into Hashiva Shoftenu, because that's the most direct and immediate and essential purpose of Kibbutz Galyus, is achieving that end. The Gemara in Megillah on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, we referred to this Gemara many times, is going through the order of the brachos, the chazals, approach to the order of the brachos, and starting from Tekaba Shofar, or really starting, I guess, from Barich Aleinu, goes into a whole sequence of events, which are chronology of the lead up to the coming of Mashiach. So we had that first comes to Tekaba Shofar, and the Gemara says that Kevan Sheniskamtsu Galyus Nasa Din Bereshayim, that once the exiles have been gathered in, that then Nasa Din Birushalayim, then Din is done against the wicked, done against the evildoers. So try and understand this point according to one of the approaches we developed at length in the previous bracha, that we understood, we explained the point of Kibbutz Galus. We discussed that the Nekuda, the idea, the point, or the focus of Kibbutz Galus is not just the physical ingathering, is not just the geographical ingathering of Klal Yisrael, is not just that now we are all together again in one place, and not that we're all just brought back to the land of Eretz Yisrael. It's not just the physical ingathering, but also the hisachdus, the ichud, the becoming one, and the unification of Klal Yisrael, and that we discussed at length, that the idea of Kibbutz Galus, the idea of Kabetzenu Yachad Me Arba Kanfos Aretz, that one of our classes devoted to the idea that coming to Eretz Yisrael was either in unison with, or the symbolically is or conceptually related to becoming one, and therefore the going into Eretz Yisrael comes in unison with Klal Yisrael becoming one, reunifying. So the idea of Kibbutz Galus is not just that now we're all together, but is that we become echad again, we become yachad, that we become unified again. So that we have this reunification of Klal Yisrael, that's the accomplishment of Kibbutz Galus, is to reunify Klal Yisrael. So that then leads to Hashiva Shoftenu, because the reinstitution of Sanhedrin, which are, you know, the ultimate execution, the ultimate carrying out of Mishpat, is done from the Sanhedrin. The reinstitution of Sanhedrin requires the Achdus of Klal Yisrael, requires the unity of all of Klal Yisrael. What do I mean by that? So the Rambam, we'll learn a Rambam together here, a couple of Rambams, but the Rambam in his Hakdama, in his introduction to, I'm sorry, the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin, in Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph, discusses how the Sanhedrin is going to be reinstituted, or really how Smicha is going to be reinstituted. You had basically that Moshe Rabbeinu was the, you know, original Torah authority, invested with authority from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he bestowed that authority onto the Zakenim and to Yoshua, and then there was a tradition passed down that someone who was a Samach, someone who had Smicha, could give Smicha to someone else. And as long as there's one person with Smicha, he could give Smicha to as many other people as necessary. But what happens when the chain of Smicha if Smicha is always possible for one person to transfer Smicha to another, so what happens when as long as Smicha is alive, so that, you know, it has the ability to continue, but as soon as there's no one left, so then what happens? I was given the report that you weren't going to be able to make it tonight.
Right.
Alright. Great. It's Klal Yisrael, we ask not what we can do, but what we must do, right? So basically, the Rambam in Perek Dalet of Sanhedrin discusses the chain of Smicha, and what happens when the chain of Smicha is broken. And in the Pirush HaMishnah, to the Mishnayos in Sanhedrin, he makes it more explicit that he's directly answering a question, that nowadays, that we don't have Smicha, how are we ever going to have the reinstitution of Sanhedrin? How can Sanhedrin ever come back? So there are some who say that, well, Eliyahu HaNavi had Smicha, And Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come, you know, before Mashiach, and he had smicha, so when he comes back, so he'll give smicha, and he'll reinstitute smicha. But the Rambam doesn't go with that approach. The Rambam asks the question, how is it that we're going to reinstitute smicha? How is it going to come back if smicha is basically, it's dead, there's no one left, the chain has been broken. So the Rambam says, nearly hadvarim, it seems to me, she'im hiskimu kol hachachamim sheba Eretz Yisrael limnos dayanim, if all of the sages in Eretz Yisrael agree to appoint judges, to appoint dayanim, velismoch osam, and to give them smicha, hare elu smuchim, those individuals who, through the consensus of all of the chachamim Eretz Yisrael, become are appointed as judges, they become smuchim. They now have smicha. The yesh lahem ladun dini knasos. They have the ability to judge knasos. One of the things that we can only do with smicha is to the all of the laws, all of the among other things. One of the things is all of the monetary laws that are not merely reimbursement, but involve some kind of penal charge. So only someone smicha can do. So this individual would be able to do that. The yesh lahen lismach acherim, and they would be able to then confer smicha onto others. In the time of the Beis Yosef, they actually did attempt to do this. They actually, the Chachamim in Tzfas at the time, they got together and they agreed to give smicha to the Ma'ari Beirav, so they're one of the leading authority in Tzfas. So all the Chachamim in Tzfas, which was one of the two Torah centers of Eretz Yisrael at the time, so they gave smicha to the Ma'ari Beirav, and then they the Ma'ari Beirav, once he has smicha, could give smicha to others and reinstitute the Sanhedrin. So the problem was that the Chachamim in Yerushalayim, led by the Ma'ar al-Bach, they had objections for whatever reasons. They had various technical objections. The Radbaz also, there were different Chachamim who had objections, and once you didn't have the Haskama, once you didn't have the agreement of all of the Torah sages in Eretz Yisrael, so then the whole thing goes out the window. The Rambam says explicitly, if all of the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael agree, so then you could do it. But they didn't agree to it for whatever reasons, and therefore the whole thing fell apart. In recent times, there was politically charged decision by a group of rabbis in Eretz Yisrael to declare themselves new Sanhedrin and to give smicha to someone, and then for him to give smicha to others, and it was never really went very far because it was very politically charged kind of thing, and it actually highlights what we're going to mention in a moment. The Rambam continues. He says, you could the smicha goes away, there's no problem getting it back. What do? You could just confer smicha, get everyone together and confer smicha on someone anew. So says the Rambam, Imkain, if that's the case, that smicha is renewable, lama hayu hachamim mitzdarim al hasmicha? Why were the chachamim so concerned about the loss of smicha? Why was it a problem why were they concerned about the chain of smicha disappearing, and why were they bothered when it did disappear? You can reinstitute, right? Why are they bothered? Kadesh lo yivatal dine knasos misal. Why were they bothered that the dine of knasos are going to disappear? So if you need to reinstate them, so you'll reinstate it. So says the Rambam, lefi she yisrael mifuzarin, the klal yisrael are scattered, the efshar she yaskimu kulam, and it's impossible that they will all come to agreement. The im hayasham samach lepi samach inu tzarach das kulan. Would it be that there was one guy who was still from the chain of smicha, who had received smicha from someone else? If you already have smicha, you could confer smicha without whether anyone else agreed or not. So as long as the chain of smicha was alive, you did not need the consensus of all of the chachamim of Yisrael. One guy is enough. He can confirm smicha proliferate smicha again. But once it's disappeared, then you need the consensus of all of Klal Yisrael. And says the Rambam that they're scattered. They're not. It's impossible. They're all going to agree on one person. And that being the case, so it's not going to be very practical to reinstitute smicha. So the Radbaz there, the point he says that you can't do it al yidei shluchim. You know, you need to get all of Klal Yisrael, all of the chachamim of Eretz Yisrael into one place, and then to agree on one person. This is what the Rambam says, that they're mifuzarim. Right, the fact that they're scattered is a problem, said the Radbaz. Why is being scattered a problem? Just, you know, send around a message, send around an email telling everyone, you know, we're conferring smicha, and everyone will say it sounds good. He says that it's not enough just that that everyone knows about it, but they actually, the fact that they're scattered, the fact that they're all over the place, that itself is a problem. They all have to get together, and once they're all together, then they all have to come to agreement on one person. There's a, I've heard before, a cynical joke, but the joke was that, you know, we have all of these different signs, simanim, all these different indications that were given that the geula is coming, different midrashim that, you know, give different things that will be going on in the world, that someone said, you know, the biggest sign that the geula is here will be when all of Klal Yisrael can agree on one thing. Right, when you get the entire Jewish people together to agree on one person, so then that's going to be the biggest sign that the Geula is coming. That's necessary. That's going to be a necessary prerequisite to reinstituting Sanhedrin, reinstituting Smicha, and thereby Sanhedrin is going to be that you have to have everyone, according to the Rambam, everyone, all of Klal Yisrael gets together, all of the Chachamim Klal Yisrael gets together and agrees on one person, and that's how you reinstitute Smicha. The Rambam says this, as we just read, as a Nira Li Hadvarim. He says, it seems to me. So, where did the Rambam get this idea from? It seems to him, it just sounded reasonable, it sounded like a good idea, so where is the Rambam coming from? So, I believe that the Rambam is really conceptually based off of a principle, a yesod that the Rambam lays down in his Hakdama, his introduction to Mishneh Torah, an introduction to the Yad HaChazaka. The Rambam there discusses a lot of ideas of the chain of halacha and how halacha works. One of the things that the Rambam there writes is that the absolute authority of the Gemara, the reason that the Gemara is universally binding and everyone has to accept the reasons of the Gemara, as opposed to any other any big rabbi, the rabbi of, you know, if there would be a chief rabbi of America, so the chief rabbi of America could maybe make rules that people in America would have to accept, but the chief rabbi of America could never turn to Canada and say, accept my rulings. They would say, you're not our rabbi. There's no such thing as a universally binding decision from a chacham. As opposed to the Gemara is universally binding, and the gzeros that they made are incumbent upon everyone. You have to accept them. So the Rambam writes, the reason is because kol osam advarim sheb Gemara, all of those things that are in the Gemara, hiskimu aleihem kol Yisrael, all of Bnei Yisrael agreed upon them. The kol osam chachamim and all of those chachamim of all of the sages of the Gemara, heim kol chachmei Yisrael arubam. They were the entirety of chachmei Yisrael, or at least the overwhelming majority. So says the Rambam, why is the Gemara binding? Why does everyone have to accept the authority of the Gemara? Because the Gemara was representative of the entirety of Klal Yisrael. I heard so the Torah authenticates a body of jurisdiction of halacha and Torah Shbalpeh. It's very well sourced in the psukim itself to get to the fact that there is meant to be a central authority of determining and disseminating halacha, of making halachic decisions. The idea of Sanhedrin is fairly well founded in Torah Shebichsav, the parsha in Sefer Dvarim in Parag Yud Zayin. The psukim say ki yifla mimcha davar lamishpat, when something is beyond you in a matter of judgment, ubas el kohanim alavim ve'el hashofet asher yeh b'yamim ahem, you'll come to the judge who is in that time, ve'asis al pi adavar asher yagidu l'cha, and you'll do according to what he tells you. So the Torah is pretty clear about there being such a thing as, you know, somebody who is appointed, that you'll go to them and you'll ask them what to do and you'll follow their instructions. So the Torah grants that authority, at least to some extent, to somebody, and that's the idea that we have of the Sanhedrin. So the question is that's very nice when you have a Sanhedrin sitting in the Lishkas Agazis, that the Torah says Ubasa El Kohanim, Yovalisa El Amakom, you'll go up to that place, which is referring to Har Habayis, where the Sanhedrin is. So there's such a thing as the authority of Sanhedrin, which the Torah grants to the Sanhedrin. But how does that authority extend beyond the Sanhedrin of Yoshev Velishkas Agazis? How does that extend beyond Sanhedrin sitting in their proper place? How does it segue from there into Chazal? How does it segue from there into the Chachmei HaTalmud? Where does that authority come from? So I once heard in a shir from Rav Aaron Lapiansky, he explained, I'll pee this Rambam, according to this Rambam, that the Rambam that we just saw, that the position of Sanhedrin, the concept of Sanhedrin, was a representative body of Klal Yisrael. I should actually put a little disclaimer. I'm going to explain how I understood what Rav Aaron Lapiansky said, and this is not necessarily the words that he said, but this is the how I understood what he said. But that the position of the Sanhedrin was a representative body of all of Klal Yisrael. It's impractical that for every din u'mishpat, for every decision, every question that comes up, that the entirety of Klal Yisrael should get together and sit down and discuss it and, you know, take a vote and come to a majority opinion and then rule on every question that comes up. You know, the same issue why really, you know, the best thing would be you want to have a real true democracy. So every question that comes up, everybody should vote. That's impractical. You can't have the entire country vote on every question. You can't have the entire Klal Yisrael, entire Chachmei Yisrael from all over the land get together for every Shiloh that ever comes up. So the Sanhedrin was a representative body of Klal Yisrael, in place, standing in for the Kol Chachmei Yisrael getting together. Sanhedrin sitting in the seat of the focal point of Klal Yisrael, sitting at the center of power of the Torah, sitting in the base of Migdash, they stand in to represent all of Klal Yisrael. But what's the ideal? What's the paradigm? The real goal, or the real objective, the real idea, the paradigm, is all of Klal Yisrael. Who is the, what creates the authoritative decision of a Torah decision? Is the entirety of Klal Yisrael makes that decision. Without Sanhedrin, Kol Chachmei Yisrael O Rubam serves the same role as Sanhedrin, because really it's the other way around. Sanhedrin serves the role of Kol Chachmei Yisrael. If you can't get Sanhedrin, but you can get Kol Chachmei Yisrael, you get all of the sages of Klal Yisrael together. So now you have the real paradigm. You. I don't want to call it settling for a Sanhedrin, because the Torah says that's the way the system is supposed to work, but in a certain sense, it's because of the impossibility, or the impracticality, rather, of having all of Klal Yisrael together. So therefore, you can't. The Sanhedrin will be able to sit in for them. But certainly, if Sanhedrin is the representatives, their authority stems from the entirety of Klal Yisrael getting together. So the entirety of Klal Yisrael certainly has that authority. So the power, the Rambam says, yearly advarim. It seems to me that getting that if all of Chachmei Yisrael would agree on one person and confer authority on him, he would now have smicha. So that's because if Sanhedrin gives smicha, and that gives someone gets smicha because Sanhedrin gave him smicha. So then certainly all of Klal Yisrael giving someone smicha gives him smicha. That's the paradigm. That's the ideal. Is that all of the authority of all of Klal Yisrael is represented in Sanhedrin? Is bestowed in the Sanhedrin, but all of Klal Yisrael themselves, they are the bestowers of that authority. So if all of Klal Yisrael gets together and they appoint one person to be the Samach, so that's the reinstitution of Smicha. So what does all of this have to do with our discussion? So the Sanhedrin is the Achdus of Klal Yisrael. Sanhedrin is the representative body of the entirety of Klal Yisrael. And the Sanhedrin serves to preserve the ultimate achdus of Klal Yisrael, which is the Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Keshem She'ein Belibcha Ela Echad, Kach Ein Belibenu Ela Echad, that Klal Yisrael, when the original Klal Yisrael, when Yaakov was on his deathbed, and he called his sons together, and he wanted to tell them about what was going to happen, the Achras Hayamim. And it said that the Nistalka Mimenu Ruach Kodesh, that the Nevuah left him, and he was afraid that maybe one of his children were really not of the appropriate level to be roy, to be fitting that he reveal the kates to them. So he said maybe there's something lacking in those that I'm leaving behind. And they responded and they said, Shema Yisrael, Yisrael Saba, referring to Yaakov himself, was Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And that was Kishem She'ein Belibcha Ela Echad, just as in your heart there is only one, God is the only one. So Ein Belibit Kach Ein Belibinu Ela Echad, that so too in our heart there is only one. The ultimate Echad of Klal Yisrael is the singular devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Echad Shel Olam, to the one of the world, the one on who is the Misha Amar Bar Ovai Olam. So the Sanhedrin has the role of Na'asa Din Bereshayim. The Sanhedrin has the job of exacting judgment against the wicked. Sanhedrin are the ones who have the ability to carry out corporal and capital punishment, along with Knossos, to punish the wicked. I just point out maybe that the idea of Knossos is somewhat related to the idea of, as we mentioned, the penal payments. You know, Mishpat, the payments which are reimbursement. You break someone's watch, so you pay them for the watch. Why? It's not a punishment to you. It's restitution of what you did wrong. You broke that, so then you have to pay it back. There's a lengthy discussion in sources whether or not there is actually something called Isser Mazik. Is there a prohibition against causing damage? General consensus is there is such a thing, but it's not so obvious that, you know, causing damage is Osir. And certainly, you know, accidentally damaging someone, that's, you know, you have to pay for it. But it's not a punishment, that's just fixing what you did wrong. So you don't need Sanhedrin for that. Any qualified Dayan or Dayanim can rule Dine Mamonis, can do just the laws of monetary restitution. But the laws of Knossos are those things which are in nature penal. They're charging you money beyond the damage that you did. So the din of Edim Zomimim, the din of Moti Shemra, all these dinim where you're paying beyond the damage that you did. You're paying more than just fixing the amount of making it back to the way it was before you came along. Those are punishments. So punishment fixing something that you did, which was an amra, fixing something which you did, which was something wicked. So that takes that's the role that requires Sanhedrin to do that. The role of Sanhedrin as the achdus of the keepers, the representatives of the achdus of Klal Yisrael, they are the summation of all of the entire body of Klal Yisrael. They are imbued with authority because they are representative of the entirety of Klal Yisrael. They are the keepers and the maintainers of the achdus of Klal Yisrael, and therefore they're the ones who do the din bereshayim. They're the ones who are solely responsible for executing judgment for evil, for the wicked that someone does, giving punishment to Malchus and Misa and Knossos and all those things. That's the role of the Sanhedrin, because they are in charge of maintaining the Ein Belibenu El Echad of Klal Yisrael, the singular devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the that Achdus, and therefore the kibbutz galius, getting back to where we started. So what does all this have to do with us? The kibbutz galius, which we explained, the ingathering of the exiles, is more than just getting everyone together. That's important also, because you can't reinstitute Sanhedrin without having everyone together. But it's having everyone echad. It's recreating the achdus of Klal Yisrael. And it's only through recreating that achdus of Klal Yisrael that you can then move into Hashiva Shoftenu. So the returning of the Shoftim, to returning of those who carry out the judgment of Klal Yisrael, because it's only through the reinstitution of the achdus of Klal Yisrael that we can reinstitute the body that is representative of that achdus of Klal Yisrael. You can reinstitute the institution which represents the entirety of Klal Yisrael, the unity of Klal Yisrael, only once you have that unity, once they're all together. So then you can reinstitute smicha by all of Klal Yisrael getting together and appointing one guy, and then he'll proliferate smicha again, you'll form a Sanhedrin. But it's only through the achdus, it's only through that starting point of the unity of Klal Yisrael, that you can then have a body representative of that unity. And it's only that body, that institution, which was representative of that achdus, which can carry out the din, the purpose of which is to maintain. The purpose of din is not just that you did something bad and therefore we have to make you suffer. The purpose of din is to be correctional. It's to reinstate. It's to preserve the achdus of Klal Yisrael in terms of being Ovdei Hashem, that our only focus, that we are the ultimate echad of Klal Yisrael, of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that we're focused on that echad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that Sanhedrin are the ones who preserve and maintain that achdus. And therefore it's only when all of Klal Yisrael gets together and we have the achdus of Klal Yisrael, that then we can have the achdus of the that body which represents the echad of Klal Yisrael, the Sanhedrin, and be able to do the din bereshayim. And therefore it's after kibbutz galius is nasa din bereshayim, is the reinstitution of Sanhedrin, who carries out the din against the reshayim. A couple minutes left. I don't think we're gonna get through everything tonight, but a second very related element that the Gemara says, Kevan sheniskamtu galios nasa din bereshayim, that once the galus is gathered together, once they're reunified, so then din will be done against the reshayim. The shoresh of ra is pirud. The root of evil, the root of wickedness, is fragmentation, a separation and fragmentation. We mentioned when we discussed in Tekan B'Shofar, we discussed the idea of a tekiah as opposed to a teruah, that a teruah is the broken, fragmented sound. The word teruah has that same, the shoresh of the word teruah is the word ra. The idea of ra, the sound, the blast, which is a teruah, is a broken up sound. It's the fragmented sound, because that's the shoresh of ra, is the perception of being able to see the world as not purely a manifestation of Ratzon Hashem, is the only place in which a person can bring themselves to do something else, is if you can bring yourself to see the world as fragmented. It's that fragmentation, it's that separation which leads to that pirud, is the shoresh, that's the root of Ra. And the achdus of kibbutz galius, that bringing everything together, that the reunification of Klal Yisrael, the yichud of Klal Yisrael, allows for the elimination of ra, because it cuts it out from its source, that the source of Ra is that separation, and the recreation of the Achdus, of the Echad of Klal Yisrael, is undermines, there's no makom for Ra, there's no makom for Rishayim when there's Achdus, because the whole starting point of Ra is when you have that period, when you have that there's a lack of that clarity, of that singular, of that unified recognition of the Malchus Shemayim, is the only time when there's Makom Faran, when we get together and we are fully representative of we as our role of representatives of Malchus Shemayim, when we serve as being Echad, and we show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, then at that point when that's revealed, Bayom Ahu Yeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, so when we get together and we, as the representatives of the Malchus of Shemayim, represent that Achdus, then that undermines, that eliminates, that Mimela, that automatically on its own eliminates Rav, it's the Nasa Din B'Rishayim, it eliminates and eradicates the Rishayim, because once there's that Achdus emerges, so then there's no room, there's no possibility of Ra. It eliminates the fundamental Shoresh, the fundamental root of Ra is that period, and the Achdus, the Echad, which comes through Kibbutz Galus, will undermine that and allow for the elimination of Ra. All right.